So the new year has begun. It's happened. It's happening. And I am excited to be here because this year for me is, I would have to say, the most exciting year of my life. I can honestly say that. I really dreaded coming into the age of 66 a couple of days ago. I don't know why. It just bugged me. I just didn't like that number. I don't know why 65 didn't feel old, but for some reason, once it went over there, I was like, oh God, it's like it's downhill from here. But I was like, no, your last days be, better than your first, and all of these wonderful things. The end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. And I began to embrace, the mighty men and women of God that he used in their latter years. And so I began to have this conversation with God, and here's what came of it. Now, let me see how you open the stupid thing. No. Okay, so there it is. Thank you, Lord. So I was going to title this Happy New Year, then I changed it to Happy New Thing. Happy New Thing. I went through this because in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why, O sons of Jacob, you are not consumed." And in that statement, he was saying, "I don't change." And I always heard, well, God doesn't change. God never changes. He doesn't change. Also, if you look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, then God doesn't change. But then God spoke to me and led me to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, where God says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the deserts." So then the questions came, okay, so you don't change or you do change? And he said, read the verses clearly and you will understand what's being said. So if you go to Malachi chapter 3, let's do that, and let's talk about that a minute. Let's get us into Malachi. No, not Isaiah, Malachi. What's wrong with you? Okay, we have to go there manually then. Let's go there. We can do it. You can do it. Now, we all know this is the should a man rob God and the tithe and offering, but it's a lot more going on here than that. And there's a lot more going on to God asking you about will you pay your tithe or not. People have treated Malachi about that book like that's all it's about is tithe. But at verse 3, starting at 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah whom you seek, will suddenly come into his temple. The messenger or angel of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, shall come, says the Lord of hosts." So he's talking in the end of the Old Testament, and he's saying, there's a Messiah coming that you've been seeking and waiting for. Now, park your car right here for a minute and let the motor idle. Don't turn it off. Just put it in park. Listen to what I'm about to say. This word is not to Christians. This word is to the Jews, the Hebrews, the people of God that he was calling to this Messiah that we enjoy today. I want you to catch this. Dr. Wise, you're going to love this. This word is spoken to a people who are waiting for a manifestation of something that they have been believing for and waiting for a very, very long time. When we read this on the other side from the Christian's perspective, you're like, hallelujah, Jesus is coming. Okay, they didn't have no Jesus. There's no letter J in the old back at that time. So they knew it was Yeshua, it was the Son of God. They understood that what was about to happen was going to be, ready, a dynamic explosion. They knew the world was about to be flipped upside down. This Messiah that they have been waiting for is being promised in the book, is being closed up with this word. He's coming. He's coming now. Whom he said, watch this. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Whew. The messenger or angel of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord. Now, we are similarly in the place that they're in. Because think about it, the last book of the New Testament says the same thing. He's going to come in a cloud, fire in his eyes and the sword. And, you know, so we're all now in that place. We're like, ooh, he's coming. Different dispensation. They were expecting the coming of the Lord. We're expecting the coming of the Lord. The problem is when he came, none of the people of elite position or status even recognized him or embraced him. He came in and we had such a picture of who he was and what he thinks he's going to do and how he's going to make our life easier. And he's going to just make these Romans go away. And we're going to just take up a sword and go wipe out all our enemies. And we're going to dance in the street with wealth and success and this and that and that and this and whatever the pictures they painted, right? And here he comes, lowly, meek, quiet, a friend of publicans and sinners, you know, totally going against the flow, dynamic change, an explosion, a total dispensation shift from what they had in their mind. Why am I bringing this to you? Because we're talking about the new thing, that the new thing God is talking about is not, okay, so now all your bills will be paid and you will have to everywhere about sickness. He's like, my thoughts are so high above that minuscule stuff that you get so caught up in and so wrapped up in. What is it that God wants to do with my life? And God was like, if I told you, you would melt. You have no idea what I wanted. What you're thinking and even the surroundings that you're in don't even dictate what I want to do. In other words, you believe it for God. And this is why I started by asking this question, to show you his face. That's what you're saying. God, show me your face. And he's like, but can you see it and live? And I always thought he meant you would see me and die. No, he meant, do you see me and will you even be able to stand in the presence of what it is I'm showing you and want to do with you? Do you even have an idea of what it is I want to do and where I want to send you? You still caught up in how I'm going to pay this American Express bill. Okay, let me say something to you. What I'm trying to do with you is so much bigger and so much grander, and what you're believing and waiting for, when it comes, will you even find it? Doesn't the scripture say, when the Lord shall appear, will he find faith in the land? Will he even find faith, right? Oh, I got faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? That the Lord provides my needs. You know, the Lord will work it all out in his time. That's where our faith is. Stop. Stop. Listen to me. That's baby steps. That's baby steps. That's stuff that we should be so far past. I'm not beating you up, not chewing you out, just waking you up. I'm trying to shake the sleeping giant in you out of this complacency that we've come into as Christians, where we're just looking for a God to do what Rufus is doing right now, hold you in his arm and take care of you and stick a bottle in your, feed you and change your poopy diaper. God's like saying, no, 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 no. You are kings and queens. You are royalty. You are power. You are dynamic motion in the earth. You are my very image. The things I can do to you, parting Red Seas and speaking walls till they fall down. That stuff is the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. But we are the same people that believe for the same God to do those kind of same things. Do I have you spinning right now? This is what I'm saying. God's been saying to me, every time I say, oh, God, this is big. Oh, God, see it. You're like, no, you, no, it's not. It's big to you right now where you are. Because once upon a time, and I want everybody here listening to me, once upon a time, where you are right now was big and huge and dynamic. And now you're there and it's like, do-do-do-do-do, correct. Because God is calling us to something so dynamic that it eludes our mental capacity to grab. But we don't reach for it. I love what Ruth said. She said, I'm believing for my life to be different. Like don't even know me type thing is what I picked up from what you said. And I was like, that's what we need. God, whatever you about to show us, knock us out. I blow our minds. We say it exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think or dare imagine. Really? Are you really believing for that? Really? Are you really expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can think? How can you have faith for something that you can't even think about? How can you believe for something that you can't even imagine? Exactly. You cannot, but you can believe in the God who has that capability and line up with him. Somebody say, preach. You know I'm preaching good right now. I've been saying, God, you're doing a new thing. I get it. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change your laws, your statutes, your spot, your spirit, your heart, your love. Because he said, I do not change, and that's why you are not consumed. He said, the reason you are not dead or destroyed or cast into the pit of hell, because my loving and my compassion and my heart doesn't change. Because I still want for you what I want for you, even when you're doing what you want to do. He's saying, you are not consumed because I don't change. He didn't say, I don't change. I'm the same thing I do. I'm always doing. He ain't going to do nothing different for you. That's not what he's saying. He said, because of my heart and my love and compassion for you, I don't change. But in terms of your life and what you think I'm doing a new thing. What you think I'm about, what you think my power is, you think if you went out in the street tomorrow and you lay hands on 5 sick people and they got up and walked, you'd be like, oh, wow. And God, and Jesus, what did Jesus say when the disciples came back? Oh, even the demons were subject to it. And he said, so what? So what? I've seen Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Big deal. As big as you can think, he said, I got something bigger. As lofty as you think your dream is, he said, I got something so much loftier. As powerful as you think your faith is, he said, your faith is baby faith. I'm showing you that everything I introduce you to is just to introduce you to the next thing I'm about to introduce you to. This is the stuff that he's been waking me up with. When I saw that image of Nelly and I shared it with her, and I'm broke down and started crying because I said, I know she sees the image that I'm showing her, but God, does she see the spirit of what I saw? That demons were trying to attack from the left and the right, and she wouldn't even move to the left. She just stood there stoic, facing God, head up. I don't know if you noticed that, Nelly, but your head was up when I gave you the demonstration. Looking to the hills from where comes your help, not being focused on all of this stuff around you. And God said, we've steeped ourselves like a tea bag in the muck and mire of this world that we can't see anything above because the water's brown. I know I'm being a little poetic today, but that's where God got my spirit right now. And I said, man, God,
I don't want to keep being this. People look up to me like I'm doing such great things as a man of God. And you saying, boy, you got an apartment in Florida. Chill. It ain't that deep. A lot of people live in this. There's about 800 more people live in the same apartment building with you. It ain't nothing that deep. And a lot of them don't even know me. You follow what I'm saying? Anything that you doing that you can look around and see people around you doing it that don't know him and they doing it better than you, then you ain't doing so much. But if you've stepped into what God has called you to in this season, then you've done a lot. And that's the dynamic of God. Because how do you put a bucket in a bucket in a bucket? Come on now, I'm about to take you there. The Bible says we're in him. But then it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. So am I in him or is he in me? How am I in him? And he's, you can't put a cup in a cup and then put the cup in the cup and they both be in each other. But that's the spiritual dynamic. I'm in him. He's in me. That's the creation that makes this universe spin, doggone it. And he's saying that rest in you. I've put that in you. That I'm doing a new thing. I'm awakening you into something that so far exceeds your mental ability to grasp that you have to die to self daily. And that's what it's talking. And it's die to self, it's to stop sinning. Listen, if you walk in this power and dynamic, sin is the least of your issues and concerns. I'm just telling you right now, that's not even something you wrestling with. I just got to stop smoking. Or I just got to stop cussing. Or I just got to stop fornicating. God's like, if you walk in what I called you to, all that stuff is so beneath you. You can't focus on that mess. You won't even see that. You live it above this world. I didn't call you to live in this, but to live above the evil in this world. Like you can live in a realm so high up in the spirit of God that you're not even affected by this world around you. This is the new thing. It's not new to him. It's new to you. And getting you to do it is new because you have to step into a realm. Watch this. That's yours. To have. You don't have to fight for, I'm just going to fast and pray and see God. This is enough. Enough. Step into what's yours and walk into it. It's yours to do. So when I'm praying about the new business or the new this and the new that, God said, all of that's temporary. Once you achieve that, you'll be unfulfilled again. But if you step into this realm, I have meat to eat that you know not of. If you drink of this well, you'll never thirst again. Well, Lord, lead me to the well. Give me the meat to eat that I know nothing about. Do you realize that that was all in the same context in the same sentence? He said to the woman at the well, you drink of this water, you never thirst again. Disciples came back and said, do you want to eat? He said, no, I already ate. Where do you got food? I have meat to eat that you know not of. He says, you don't understand the sustenance in which I survive on. It's a spiritual awakening that is happening right now for all of us who will receive it. It's dynamic. It's a new thing. It's a realm in the spirit that most of us have never tasted or thought about, but it's there. And we're gonna live not in this world, but above the evil in this world. That's what we're called to. You are the remnant that are left in my life and in this circle that God has called me to. And I'm commanding, I'm prophesying, I'm speaking that we are rising up to the next level of spirituality that literally discards and eradicates the realm of the earth. This is the power that we're called to walk in. This is what walks on water. This is what walks past people in the shadow of you. The glory coming off you makes people healed and whole. Not you run, I claim command you be healed in the name of Jesus, and then walk away saying, I sure hope that worked. You don't even have to pray it. You just walk in the room and people are healed. And these are the levels that God is saying. You're so much bigger than this mess. Can you divorce it? Can you divorce it? Can you let me come in and explode and blow the foundation up in which your whole world is built on so we can start this project all over again the way it's supposed to be? There's so much more I can say, but I think what's needed to be said is said. God is doing something new every day, but he's the same God. The house's mercy is new every morning. We've taken that and we perverted God and tried to lock God into a corner. God don't change. Yes, he does. His foundation, who he is, doesn't change. But what he's doing in our lives and how he's doing it, it changes every day, every second, every minute of the day. If you align with it, your world will come apart in the most beautiful way you ever saw. Sometimes it'll feel painful and excruciating to the flesh, but my God, it will turn your world around. He will recycle everything in you, about you, on you, around you, and through you. Everything becomes new the moment it comes in his presence. Why did they see him and fall to the ground as dead men? Just pass out. Because who you are is not comparable to who he's calling you to be. It's an awakening. It's time. And it's time for us. Thank you, Doctor, for sharing that we say, God, this year teach us to be still and quiet, but not to be just still and quiet so that we can see what you're going to do, but be still and quiet so that you can awaken us to the dimension that you've called us to that is exceedingly abundantly above anything we can even ask, think, or dare imagine. Happy new thing. In Jesus' name, amen.